Okay, so the question is about the millennium, thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. I come from schools that are dispensational in their orientation, and I do believe in a literal millennium, as I say in the book. I do believe in a thousand-year reign of Christ on the old earth before there is a final battle, which it gets a little confusing because there's Armageddon, which we usually think of as the final battle, but that's the return of Christ. But then there's what's sometimes called the Battle of Gog and Magog, the thing that happens at the battle that happens at the end of the millennium, where there are people on earth that are in rebellion against Christ, who is on his throne. Okay, so they rebel, they're conquered, then millennium now over, then new heavens and new earth over which Christ reigns, and we are said to reign with him. Well, so some people say, okay, all of these passages that are earthly, that speak of an earthly existence, must be speaking of the millennial kingdom, not the new earth. And it's a great question, and I'm going to actually take a fair amount of time to answer this question, and then Joel will have plenty of time to choose which question we'll come next. But I think it's important enough. I think what I'm trying to decide which passage to go to. But I think I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 7. And here we've got, and most of you probably don't have Bibles with you, though there's lots of, you could buy one right now. You could get up, go buy a Bible, and then you could, okay. But anyway, in Daniel 7, Daniel says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea." Okay, first there comes a lion, which is the kingdom of Babylon. Then comes a bear, which is Medo-Persia. Then comes a leopard, which is Greece. Then comes the fourth beast, which we know to be the Roman Empire, terrifying, frightening, very powerful. All right, so you have these four great nations that are going to rise up. But then it says, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat." Now, he's the true ruler of all. "His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire." This is God the Father being manifested here. "A river was flowing from him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. Then in my vision I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." And who's this? This is Jesus. Okay, God's Son. "He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion," and in reading it in the context very clearly, "his dominion," which is going to replace the dominion of these earthly kingdoms, "is a dominion that is on the earth." And it's very explicit in the, if you read the whole context, you'll see it. "His dominion," this coming dominion, "is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Everlasting is more than 1,000 years. Everlasting means it does not end. If that isn't enough, then it says that the final kingdom on this earth is going to be the kingdom of God. And it says, "The saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom, and they will possess it forever." And it's almost like, well, yeah, but does it really mean forever? And this is actually what it says. "And they will possess it forever." Yes, forever and ever. And it's almost like, did you think that was just 1,000 years? Did you think this was a limited period of time? No, no, no. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not arguing against the millennium. I do believe in a millennium. I do believe in a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, we should understand that there are many brothers and sisters, and probably some of you here tonight, who do not believe in a literal millennium. And I'm not going to list the names of great people who are amillennial, because some people who are not amillennial will write them off as soon as they find out that these, but the point is, whether you believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Christ or not, I do. The point is that if there is one, and I believe there is, it will be 1,000 years. This is talking about a kingdom that's going to last forever. As I watched, the horn was waging war against the saints, defeated them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. What's the kingdom? This ultimate earthly kingdom that will be heaven on earth, God's kingdom on earth. Then it says, he will. It's talking about Antichrist here. He will speak against the Most High. He will oppress the saints and try to change the set times of the laws. And the saints will be handed over to him for a time and a half a time. So 3.5 years, first 3.5 years of, or second 3.5 years, depending upon your interpretation of the tribulation period. But the court will sit and his power will be taken away, and he will be completely destroyed forever. We see this in Revelation 20. He's thrown into the lake of fire. And then, that is, then after he's destroyed in the lake of fire, Revelation 20, then after that, which will now be Revelation 21 and 22, new heavens and new earth, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom, this ultimate earthly kingdom, his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Now, when you get to Revelation 21, and you're reading where it says the kings of the nations of the earth will bring their treasures into the New Jerusalem, which is capital city of the new earth. Okay, this is all after the millennium. The millennium comes and goes in Revelation 20. Now we're into Revelation 21 and 22. Okay, now, if we had time to do it, I would also take you to Isaiah 60, where several places it is speaking of this new world, where animals will be at peace and all of these other things will be going on, and it talks about how the sun and the moon and there'll be no more need of them. It doesn't say they'll no longer exist. It says there'll be no more need of them because of the glory of God and its light will shine. Well, that's Isaiah 60, and most people who believe in a literal millennium think Isaiah 60 is millennial, except the problem is two portions of Isaiah 60 are quoted in Revelation 21 and applied to the new earth. Another example is Ezekiel 47, where it says some things that are specifically cited, quoted in Revelation 21 and 22 as referring to the new earth, yet people will read Ezekiel 47, they'll say, well, this is so earthy, and yeah, it's going to be perfect and it's going to be wonderful, but it sounds like people with real bodies are here, and that, like, there's animals, and there's an actual earth. Yeah, right. That's the promise. And you know what? The doctrine of the resurrection is an interesting thing, because there are people who will die, who would die, willingly would die, in defense of the doctrine of the resurrection, but who don't believe it. And I've had long conversations with them. I've had people say to me, you're not saying you think we will really eat and drink and have bodies. And I say, so are you asking me, do I believe in the resurrection? And they say, oh, no, I believe in the resurrection. I'm just asking if you think we'll actually have bodies. I'm saying, but that's what the resurrection means. We will have bodies. There's no other meaning. There's no such thing as spiritual resurrection. Now, we're told we'll have a spiritual body, but in the context of 1 Corinthians 15, what does that mean? Does that mean a non-body? Of course not. It means a body that has spiritual empowerment and spiritual capabilities and the ability to be in submission to a godly spirit and to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. It's not a non-body. It's a real body. And so we will have new bodies, and there will be a new earth.